Welcome to 1514, a podcast of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, where we draw from the words of Romans 15:14 to encourage all Christians that they are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to counsel one another. I'm your host and director of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, Curtis Solomon. Well, welcome back to those of you who are listening to 1514 and those of you who are watching online. Thanks for joining us today. Today, I have a very special guest with us, Kyle Johnston, who's joining us from South Africa. Praise the Lord for technology that can bring people together across the globe. Kyle serves as an elder at Jubilee Community Church, overseeing pastoral care ministry there. He also works with a network of churches in that area and offers biblical counseling training for them. And he's begun lecturing at George Whitfield College in Cape Town, teaching classes in biblical counseling there as well. So, Kyle, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And could you just go ahead and introduce us to yourself? Tell us a little bit about your family and what you're doing there in South Africa.
Yeah. So I'm married to Kirsty. We've been married coming up 10 years in December. We've got two beautiful daughters, Sophia, who is 4, and Zoe, who is 1. And we obviously all attend Jubilee. We love being part of the community. We enjoy friendship with other leaders and members. And in our free time, try and enjoy the beaches and the mountains in Cape Town. So that's a little bit about us.
That's fantastic. So do you actually find much free time with all those different responsibilities going on?
Not as much free time as before having kids. But actually, having kids does also force you to do things like go to the beach and go to the park and go on walks. So we don't have a ton of free time, but when we do like to try and go outside, do something fun.
That's great. So tell us a little bit more about the roles that you are filling there in your different responsibilities, and how did you come into those roles?
So at Jubilee, I'm one of the elders. So there is some general eldership duties around governance and things like that. I'll help with preaching occasionally and various kind of general pastoral kind of responsibilities. But the bulk of my time goes towards overseeing the care and counseling ministries. That involves counseling people one-on-one or doing marriage counseling. But a lot of it also involves training people to do counseling. So we place a big emphasis on equipping our members to care for each other. So we've got various levels of training, some basic training that we ask and encourage everyone to do. And then we have kind of more developed training tracks for those that want to join the counseling ministry. We also run redemption groups, which is like a group-based counseling program as well. And so that's kind of my main area of responsibility. We'll occasionally do like a seminar on a topic, or I'll speak at a student camp or a young adults event of some kind on a specific issue, like shame or homosexuality or depression. So it's kind of counseling, teaching, training is generally what I spend my time doing. And I found I kind of didn't expect, I think I didn't know God would lead us in this direction. I think in my earlier days in ministry, I thought I would end up being more of just a Bible teacher, more of a classic expositor. But I think just working in the church and just dealing with real people, with real life, with my own life, realizing that actually it's one thing to be confident in the Bible from the pulpit, but it's quite another thing to be confident in the Bible when you're actually face to face with someone and they've got a complicated problem and you don't actually know how to take your theology and apply it in a skillful way to the particular struggles that a person is facing. So I think it's been a bit of a surprise for me, but from my earlier days in ministry, I always had a confidence that the Bible could speak to life and to change and transform us. But that was always in a more general sense from the pulpit. And I think over the last number of years, God has been showing me that more and more churches need to be wise in personal ministry, not just in public ministry. So it was just really through living and working in a local church that drew me into counseling ministry, which was unexpected, but it's been a wonderful journey.
No, that's a really fantastic point that a lot of pastors, I think, go through. And somebody recently told me, a BCC council board member had told them, very few seminarians get out of seminary and get into ministry thinking, I wish I would have had less counseling training, but almost all of them say, I wish I had had more. Was there anything in particular, a particular moment or series of events that brought you to that understanding, obviously without violating confidentiality or anything like that, that really opened your eyes to the need for confidence in the scriptures and personal ministry?
Yeah, I think there are two avenues. The one is the ministry avenue. And early on in my ministry, I was meeting with a person who had a variety of very intense and complicated struggles. And I hadn't planned on counseling them. We were just reading through the Bible together. But as we did that, and as they came into contact, if you like, with the Lord through his word, there were some significant changes that happened in their life. And that was quite a powerful thing for me, because we weren't doing counseling, but just as they appropriated what the scriptures were teaching, it changed their life, and there was fruit from that. And it didn't remove all their problems and anything like that, but it struck me that, wow, God's word is powerful. And although we're not dealing with everything in this person's life, it's making a significant impact. So I think that ministry experience early on was powerful. I at the same time realized I don't know what else to do. I don't, you know, beyond reading through, we were reading through a New Testament later, but we weren't really going deep into specific issues. But I felt, on the one hand, God's word is powerful. It's speaking to this person. It's helping them. And yet I don't know, we're not dealing with everything in their life, and I don't know if I even want to go there. I don't know how to help them. So that was an inspirational thing in a way, because I saw the power of God's word, but I also felt frustrated because I didn't know how else I could participate in what I thought God was wanting to do in that person's life. So that created a kind of frustration in me to think, we need to get better at this. I need to get better at this. In terms of using God's word in face-to-face ministry. So from a ministry point of view, that was quite a significant moment. And then there have been a number of influences and books over the years that have added to that. And then at a personal level, my wife struggled with complicated illness, chronic fatigue syndrome, and we needed to make sense of that, and we needed to develop a plan for dealing with that. And we just really struggled to find resources and biblical material that was helpful. And so that, again, kind of alerted me to the fact that, we're in a church that believes the Bible, that teaches the Bible, but when it comes to helping people with complicated problems, we don't have the same confidence that we do in the pulpit. We don't always seem to have the same wisdom that we do from up front. And that was another kind of catalyst that I think God used to push me into thinking more carefully about what does wise pastoral care look like? How can you use the word, not just in preaching, but in counseling?
So how did you come to, or did you find some organization, or how did you get to the point of discovering biblical counseling and maybe how you got connected with the Biblical Counseling Coalition?
Yeah. So I was just, I finished at university and was in ministry for a couple of years, and then was studying at a Bible college in Cape Town and was looking to do some courses in counseling, but they didn't have anything. And the one of the faculty members said to me, well, there's a guy who's just moved, well, recently kind of moved out from America, and he's teaching his old counseling curriculum, and the college is going to host him, and you can sign up and do some of his courses if you want. And that was Wayne Mack. So he's actually in Pretoria, which is kind of in the northern part of the country. Obviously, Cape Town's right at the bottom in the south. But he came down for a couple of weeks, and I registered for all of those classes. And it was really coming into contact with Wayne Mack's material that really took it off for me. I'd kind of read a few things before that that had kind of got my attention, but it was only really coming into Wayne Mack's teaching, engaging with him, asking him questions, that the biblical counseling bug really bit. And so God really used Wayne Mack to introduce me to biblical counseling in a kind of significant way. And then when I finished all of his courses, because he was from the Masters University, I then could apply to them for an MABC, a master's degree in biblical counseling. They gave me a few credits because of the work I'd done with Wayne. Not as much as I would have hoped, but then I finished up with them, and just got, spent a month in California with Ernie Baker, Dr. Somerville, Dr. Street, and it was Ernie Baker that put me in touch with the BCC, and I think invited me to write something for them. So I think that was quite a few years ago now, but I was put in touch with Bob Kellerman and then have kind of been writing blog posts occasionally for the BCC over the last couple of years.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate that. And then last summer you were able to come out and participate in the global summit that we did. And you got to in Chicago, and you got to share a little bit about what was going on in South Africa in the biblical counseling movement, but a lot of people maybe weren't able to see that. So give us a brief update. What is the state of the biblical counseling movement in South Africa?
Yeah, I think it's early days still. There are lots of encouraging things happening. I think one of the big things is that ACBC has started a kind of ACBC Africa. Again, it's really kind of centered around Wayne Mack and some of the churches he's involved in up in Pretoria for the north in the country. But there are more and more people getting access to biblical counseling training through Wayne Mack's ongoing ministry. So that is quite exciting. And then more and more, there is an interest. If I'm invited to go to a church and teach on biblical counseling, either to the leadership or the membership, there's a real desire when people kind of get what biblical counseling is about. Mm-hmm. When you help them think about it's applying the gospel to the issues of life. And you kind of look at some of the key definitions of biblical counseling, there is a real hunger and desire for it. So even more and more conservative Bible colleges wanting to find out more and maybe bring it into their curriculum. So that's starting to happen more and more, which is very exciting. At the same time, we still don't quite have robust training mechanisms. Probably Wayne Mack's ministry is still the most robust one around in terms of depth and giving you a comprehensive education in biblical counseling. But if someone asks, where can I get more training, which they often do locally, really the only option is to do something with Wayne Mack and the ministries he's involved in, or to study an online degree with an American seminary. So we've got two people in my church that are doing the Westminster online program, which is wonderful, but it's for South Africans, it's very expensive. And our prayer is that actually there'd be that biblical counseling would find an academic home in some of our more evangelical Bible colleges, so that people that want to study it further could have avenues to go down.
Yeah, that's a really helpful update. So in the U.S., the modern biblical counseling movement, I think it's important to recognize that biblical counseling has really taken place ever since Scripture has been around. God's used his word in the lives of people to bring them into conformity to the image of Christ. But in the U.S., the biblical counseling movement started kind of on the backdrop of a very therapeutic worldview, where there's a lot of people getting counsel, getting therapy, going to psychologists and psychiatrists. Was there that kind of background existing in South Africa, or what's the broader counseling world look like there?
Yeah, I think so. I think that that would be very similar in the South African Christian academic environment. If you study counseling from a Christian, if you study Christian counseling or something like that, you will inevitably study kind of more what we would think of as integration or something like that. So that would, in terms of where Christian counseling is being taught and being practiced, it's definitely much more of a professional therapeutic approach. And even, you know, one of the challenges is that because there aren't a lot of places where biblical counseling has got a robust academic home, even people that are coming into biblical counseling have received all of their training from other contexts. And although they're kind of moving towards a biblical counseling model, it's not a clean journey in a lot of ways. And there are kind of, there's ambiguity in terms of anthropology, understanding change, how to use scripture, even the counselor's own familiarity with scripture, in terms of rightly dividing the word of truth and how to best, so I think, we have an environment that was much more influenced by that secular Christian counseling material, and moving towards biblical counseling is going to be a challenge because institutionally we don't really have that in place. And so at a grassroots level, when pastors or church members find out about biblical counseling and they want to go further, there isn't a lot of institutional options for further study at the moment.
Definitely gives us something to pray for and hope for and work towards improving. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things I like to think about? One of the things I love about the BCC is our vision for global advancement of biblical counseling, but that involves not just exporting American biblical counseling. We want to learn from other cultures how we can best minister to you, but also what we can learn from you as well. What are some things that maybe the biblical counseling community at large can learn from what's going on with you all in South Africa?
Well, I mean, that's a very gracious question. I appreciate, you asking it. It's hard. I feel like in a lot of ways, we're learning and growing and really learning from the American church a lot in this area. I can't think of anything that would be massively different in terms of you're dealing with people's lives. I think the one thing that we've had to reflect on, and it has a big impact on our practice, is recognizing cultural diversity in your counselees and communicating with people in a way that's relevant to who they are and where they're from and where they're at and their background and their story. And I think because of the massive cultural diversity in our church and in our city, it's very important to understand your counselee, where they're coming from, not to assume you know what they mean when they say something, because they may mean something slightly different to what someone else meant when they said that. So I think the cultural diversity has pushed us to really work hard at making sure, am I actually understanding this counselee, properly on their terms? Have I really exegeted the counselee thoroughly? And then can I communicate the scriptures in a way that's clear, that's coherent, that's practical? I think trying to then connect truth to life in a way that is then meaningful for this particular individual. I'm sure you guys are doing stuff like that in the States. But I think the cultural diversity we face really pushes us to work hard, I think, in understanding the counselee in front of us.
No, I think it's a good word. I think maybe in some contexts in the States, we're better at it than in others. The U.S. has pretty broad diversity of cultures, both across the country, but also within pockets. I was just down in Los Angeles County, and Los Angeles County is home to the second largest population for many cultures around the world is in Los Angeles. So if you're doing counseling there, it's much more pressing that you understand the culture of the people you're working with rather than maybe somewhere in a less diverse place, but that's always a good word.
Yeah. And I think the one thing I love about biblical counseling, in fact, it was my first blog post for the BCC, was the ability for biblical counseling to be transcultural. But I think the reality is that obviously it comes out of a certain cultural context. It does come out of an American context, which isn't a bad thing, but it just means that when we're doing ministry in Cape Town, we have to be very thoughtful about equipping people in a way that's really going to be appropriate to where they're at. And it's not going to feel like there's a lot of cultural packaging that this comes with. What does it look like for me to engage with this material and that kind of thing? So, America is a very diverse nation as well, increasingly so.
Well, it's a good word. I really appreciated that too. I think you shared about that at the Global Summit as well. And it's important for us to think about. We even jokingly talked about that at the annual retreat, just even the analogies we use. Somebody was talking about the analogy between a Pinto and maybe some other sports car. And I looked around the table and all our international members, Pinto doesn't mean anything to you all except maybe a bean. In the States, we know that's a junky car, but those kind of things. Yeah. That's even talking to one of our hopes is to be able to get more biblical counseling material translated in other languages. Yeah. But it's important that we have a cultural translation as well. When we just are used to our culture, we don't
think about that.
So what are some of the, you mentioned some of the particular challenges facing ministry in South Africa, the lack of institutions, the lack of an academic home, maybe other than Dr. Mack's ministry in Pretoria. What are some of the other challenges that you all are facing in South Africa?
Yeah, I think South Africa is going through a very, it's quite a tense time in South Africa at the moment. I think a lot of the injustices and inequalities of the past have not been well addressed. And so there continues to be a number of kind of legacy issues from not just apartheid, but from the colonial era around racism, and poverty and economic inequality. And so those continue to plague our society in terms of how people are viewed and how people are treated. And then it impacts things like access to resources and resources in someone's kind of home language or mother tongue. So those issues around racism, racial injustice, economic inequality, the lack of resources, lack of training sometimes available to people or certain communities that are more historically disadvantaged and continue to be disadvantaged in the present, present challenges for doing life and ministry in South Africa. So I think those continue to be things that we have to battle with and kind of deal with and think about how does the gospel empower us and enable us to engage with these things and love our neighbor and serve and care for them the way Christ would. So those continue to be some big challenges, I think, that we face. And then part of that, I think, is then also thinking through, again, the contextualization thing. What would it look like to see biblical counseling flourish in the different parts of South African society, in different parts of South African life? What would it, you know, for us at Jubilee, we're in a very urban context. It's very multicultural, but it's very much shaped by Western technology and things like that, but not all of Cape Town is like that, and not all of South Africa is like that. And so what would it look like to make sure that we try and promote biblical counseling in these other places as well? So those are some of the challenges, I think, that continue to force us to think about doing ministry in a way that is inclusive, that's reaching out to all people.
That's good. Well, definitely pray about that. Thinking about some of the challenges, can you think of ways in which the biblical counseling community globally might help or step up and help the ministry there in South Africa?
Yeah. I mean, I think I'd want to just, you know, affirm what other guys in other parts of the world are doing. I think the American church has been very generous and really great at actually serving and resourcing other Christians and other nations. I think you guys have done a great job, and there's been a blessing being connected to the BCC, just having good relationships with guys like Steve Midgley in the UK, or connecting with guys from other contexts, and hearing about what's happening in you know, Mexico or Brazil, where there are some similarities to our context in some ways. So those relationships are very helpful. Just hearing what God is doing in other contexts can be quite catalytic for my thinking in terms of what's happening in South Africa. So I think just having those relationships, having access to those relationships is a big thing. And that's what the BCC is about. So that's a wonderful thing. And then I think another thing that would be big, and it is a bit of a cliche, but prayer, you know, just the, I think if, it really is, the battle is the Lord's. And I think if we could have the prayer of the international biblical counseling community, that would be a wonderful gift to us. I think there are a lack of resources in South Africa, but I think we have to remember ultimately God needs to do work in people's hearts. And so resources are helpful, but if God doesn't work by his Spirit through his word, then it doesn't matter how many resources you have. So I think prayer would be another wonderful way to serve the biblical counseling movement in South Africa. And then I think the third thing would be education. So I've been a recipient of actually American education, and am trying to pass on what I've learned and contextualize what I've learned. So I think other educational opportunities, whether it's guys coming out to South Africa and doing training events, or maybe us sending South Africans to the States for the conference, or trying to get them degreed in something. So I think the third thing would be that educational sphere. So relationships, prayer, and education, I think, would be the three things that come to mind for me. And yeah, like I said, I think particularly in my encounters with the BCC, you guys have been really great at this, and it's been, I've been a recipient of education, and I'm now, you know, seeking to pass that on to others.
Yeah, well, praise the Lord, and we're thankful. We're thankful for your participation in the BCC as well. It's been a real joy to get to know you, even in the few times we've had interactions. They've been very great, and I think very valuable as well. We will keep praying for you and the growth of the movement. We're about out of time, so I wanted to take, I reserved the last 2 minutes of my interviews with people to do what I call 2 minute favorites. So I'm going to throw a bunch of favorites at you, and you have 2 minutes to answer as many of them as you can before my timer goes off. So are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. So Kyle, tell us, what's your favorite food?
Pizza.
All right. Favorite gift you've ever received?
My wife got me an ESV journaling Bible, and I think it was the sentimental value of that. I think, I mean, it's a nice Bible, but I think it's a special gift, I think.
All right. Favorite gift you've ever given?
I think the one that sprung to mind was, this past Christmas, we got our 4-year-old daughter a green kind of fairy dress thing. My wife chose it, but I paid for it. and she just loved it and wore it, you know, for about a week nonstop, and got so much joy out of it, and continues to kind of put it on when she gets home from school. So I think that was, that's been a good gift to have given, and to see how much she loves it.
All right. What's your favorite sport?
To watch, I think my favorite sport is rugby. It's a bit tricky. Rugby and cricket are both quite high up there, but I think if I had to choose, I would choose to watch rugby.
All right. And what's your favorite sports team?
I would have to say the South African rugby team, the Springboks, twice world champions. So, yeah.
There you go. What's your favorite candy?
So I think we would call that chocolate, because candy, if I hear the word candy, I kind of think of like a hard sweet.
Okay.
But, chocolates, yeah, there's a chocolate in South Africa called Bar One, which is really like a nice chocolate bar, which is up there.
All right. Well, that ends our 2 minutes. So, thanks for that. That was really interesting. I thought I'd get some more diverse answers, not football, basketball, baseball, those kind of things. So thanks for playing rugby there. Well, Kyle, thanks very much for joining us today. And I look forward to seeing you. I know I didn't get to the question what you're going to be doing for your 10th anniversary, because that's when our leadership summit is this year. But I pray that you have a great time with you and your wife on that time. Oh, and I'll look forward to catching up with you some other time.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of 1514. If you'd like to know more about the Biblical Counseling Coalition, please visit our website at biblicalcc.org. You can also follow us on Twitter at biblicalcc, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Biblical Counseling Coalition. Thanks again for listening.